Why the hero with a thousand faces?
Well, because there is a certain typical hero sequence of actions, which can be detected in stories from all over the world and from many, many periods of history. And I think it's essentially, you might say, the one deed done by many, many different people.
Why are there so many stories of the hero or of heroes in mythology?
Well, because that's what's worth writing about. I mean, even in popular novel writing, you see, the main character is a hero or a heroine. That is to say, someone who has found or achieved or done something beyond the normal range of achievement and experience. A hero properly is someone who has given his life to something bigger than himself or other than himself.
So in all of these cultures, whatever the costume the hero might be wearing, what is the deed?
Well, there are two types of deed. One is the physical deed, the hero who has performed a war act or a physical act of heroism, saving a life, that's a hero act, giving himself, sacrificing himself to another. And the other kind is the spiritual hero who has learned or found a mode of experiencing the supernormal range of human spiritual life and then come back and communicated it. It's a cycle. It's a going and a return that the hero cycle represents. But then this can be seen also in the simple initiation ritual, where a child has to give up his childhood and become an adult, has to die, you might say, to its infantile personality and psyche and come back as a self-responsible adult. It's a fundamental experience that everyone has to undergo. We're in our childhood for at least 14 years, and then to get out of that posture of dependency, psychological dependency, into one of psychological self-responsibility requires a death and resurrection. And that is the basic motif of the hero journey, leaving one condition, finding the source of life to bring you forth in a richer or more mature or other condition.
So that if we happen not to be heroes in the grand sense of redeeming society, we have to take that journey ourselves spiritually, psychologically, inside us.
That's right. And Otto Rank, in his wonderful, very short book called The Myth of the Birth of the Hero, he says that everyone is a hero in his birth. He has undergone a tremendous transformation from a little, you might say, water creature living in a realm of the amniotic fluid and so forth, and then coming out, becoming an air-breathing mammal that ultimately will be self-standing and so forth. This enormous transformation, and it is a heroic act, and it's a heroic act on the mother's part to bring it about. That's the primary hero form, you might say.
Still a journey to be taken after that.
There's a big one to be taken.
And that journey is not consciously undertaken. Do heroes go out on their own initiative?
Well, they're both kinds. A very common one that appears in Celtic myths of someone who has followed the lure of a deer or animal that he has been following and then carries him into a range of forest and landscape that he's never been in before. And then the animal will undergo a transformation and become the queen of the fairy hills or something like that. That is one of not knowing what you're doing. You suddenly find yourself in full career of an adventure. There's another one where one sets out responsibly and intentionally to perform the deed. For instance, when Ulysses' son, Telemachus, was called by Athene, go find your father. That father quest is a major hero adventure for young people. That is the adventure of finding what your career is, what your nature is, what your source is. he undertakes that intentionally. Then there's one into which you are thrown and pitched. For instance, being drafted into the army. You didn't intend it, that you're in. Hey! You're in another transformation. You've undergone a death and resurrection. You put on a uniform. You're another creature.
So does the heroism have a moral objective?
The moral objective is that of saving a people or saving a person or saving an idea. He is sacrificing himself for something. That's the morality of it. Now, you, from another position, might say that something was something that should not have been realized, you know. That's judgment from another side. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't destroy the heroism of what was done. Absolutely not.
Well, that's a different angle on heroes than I got when I was reading, as a young boy, the story of Prometheus going after the fire and bringing it back and benefiting humanity and suffering for it.
I mean, Prometheus brings fire to mankind and consequently civilization. That's, by the way, a universal theme.
What is?
The hero, the fire theft theme usually with a relay race after it. Often it's blue jay or woodpecker or something like this that steals the fire and then passes it on to something else and something else, and one animal after another. And they're burned by the fires as they're carrying it on, and that accounts for the different colorings of animals and so forth. It's a worldwide myth, fire theft.
Do these stories of the hero vary from culture to culture?
Well, it's the degree of the illumination or action that makes him different. There is a typical early culture hero who goes around slaying monsters. Now, that is in the period of history when man is shaping his world out of a wild, savage, unshaped world. Well, it has another shape, but it's not the shape for man. He goes around killing monsters.
So the hero evolves over time, like most other concepts and ideas. And
well, he evolves as the culture evolves.
Yeah.
Now, Moses is a hero figure. In his ascent of the mountain, his meeting with Yahweh on the summit of the mountain, and coming back with the rules for the formation of a whole new society. That's the hero act. Departure, fulfillment, return. And on the way, there are adventures that can be paralleled also in other traditions.